This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and good evening. Today is Wednesday, December 28th, 2011. I'm Doug Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening.
We welcome everybody to Metaphysical Universe, which is a weekly broadcast of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science as part of our regular educational program. We're here to explore and empower the human spirit, what else are we going to do with science and spirituality?
Just going to talk about it.
Well, always. So we're glad everyone could join us tonight, those listening live, those listening to the archive. Tonight we're going to be talking about the power of thought in a number of different ways. So we welcome your comments, your questions in the chat room. If you'd like to call in, you can do that. The number is 714-459-3973. Reverend John Hightower will be screening your calls as always. And so, tonight is, as you mentioned earlier, Vicki, the last show.
It is so. It's the last show of 2011. Wow, so many things happened this year. I mean, it's been a whirlwind year. So, you know, it's around this time, you know, usually around solstice for me, but somewhere between solstice and that new year time, I give a little quiet time to reflecting. It's always good to reflect a bit. For me, I usually try to fill in the blanks too and say, what could I, might I, you know, things I want to learn about myself. But so I think for a minute, we're just going to talk about how ways to reflect, look back, and gather all that stuff you've learned and how to move forward. Because it's always about the now to move forward.
And we talked a little bit about that last week, too, about, you know, where were you a year ago? Where are you today? Is there any difference?
Wow. Doug, I didn't know you a year ago.
That is true. All good things must wait. They say.
So. Hey, finally. You know, I this is kind of how I recommend that we do it as objectively as we can, not to take this past year to heart. Never take the past to heart. And basically what I mean by that is don't take it personally. You know, we're all just people trying to figure it out. And I know that it's been a very challenging year for a lot of folks. And, you know, I think we all face our own challenges at our own level, in our own ways. So some people it's more financial, some people it's more relationships, emotional, internal. There's lots of challenges that we, you know, face in ourselves. So I like to look at how I have successfully done things, you know, or the things that I have perhaps overcome a fear. A challenge has helped me overcome a fear. How, you know, events have led me, how I trusted my intuition, for instance, and being able to focus on that. So this is what I mean by healthy reflection. It's not about, geez, you know, those guys really pissed me off or, you know, and carrying anger. It's about looking at it objectively, the negative and the positive, gathering all of that information up about the self, because it's really about us living from the inside out. How can I improve? What can I work on in myself? But geez, look at all the stuff I've done. Look at all the things I have, you know, achieved. If you can face challenges in yourself during some of these hard times, you got the will and the determination, the strength and the spirit, the wherewithal to keep going forward. I always say it's usually about the life skills that we're learning, and we're all learning new life skills at every stage of life. So I like to give a little look back. I mean, Doug, that morning I woke up, I heard a little voice in my head, went to the computer, and I said, you want me to what? And I key in these words, you know, Metaphysics Institute. And I said, are you sure? Yep, that's exactly what I had to. And it went right to you. Well, life has never been the same.
And that's a positive, I'm trusting.
Absolutely. I've enjoyed this so much. I mean, look, going through the degree program, facing my own challenges and my own little things inside, it's and getting to know you, I mean, I love it that you challenge me. I love the discussions. It's that slow building of internal certainty, but thought-provoking confidence. And that's, to me, what every good, healthy relationship should do.
Yep.
You know, we keep building on ourselves in the challenging. So I have so enjoyed, and that's not a finality when I say that. It's just I have so enjoyed my time with MCHS and IMHS. I am so grateful. So from here, then I look at that and just the power of that energy and the empowerment to one's life and where we go from here. I mean, the sky's the limit. The universe is the limit, as they say. So
yeah, it might not be. Given recent discussion, discoveries, you know, or hypotheses. Iron sharpens iron, you know, and that's what anything good is. It's about getting like-minded people together, and that's what we're doing.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, the power of thought is, it's been one of, you know, your great studies and my great studies. And to me, there's nothing more interesting than thought and what thought does. And the topic I'd really like to share with people tonight on thought, that's a good experiment for one's own energy, is about pendulums. You know lots about pendulums, Doug, too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
go ahead.
It's the least trustworthy form of divination that there is. I know a lot of people use pendulums. We have all this energy in our bodies, particularly if we think of it as electricity in the brain to all of our extremities, this whole nervous system, subatomic nervous system. So if you hold up a pendulum and you keep your hand as still as possible and you think you're being objective to ask the pendulum a question, which would be a circular motion would be a yes and a back and forth would be a no, yes and no answers. It's not going to necessarily be reliable because you have a conscious, unconscious, subconscious, other conscious mind going on at the same time. And it just can't. You can make a pendulum do anything you want with a thought. And I don't care how still you try to keep your hand. Absolutely still. So I challenge people as, you know, for their own experimentation, anything can be used as a pendulum. You know, if you want to get a nice heavy piece of thread, for instance, with a needle on it, that will work.
Or a washer or a nut or anything that's a little heavy.
Absolutely. And,
a necklace will work if it's got a brooch or something on it.
Yeah, a little pendant or something on it.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people are quite popular with the crystals and such, which are, it's wonderful. It doesn't matter what you use as long as it's some kind of a weight.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just hold that up in the air, as still as possible, and you imagine a circular motion, just image it in your mind. It will start moving in a circular motion.
You can use your eyes, too. You know, move your eyes in a circle.
That
or back and forth, up and down, whichever.
Yep, more energy. What I have also done with people, this is where it gets even more fascinating, in the experiment of energy and the power of thought, is if, let's say you and I are sitting at a table, Doug, and you're holding a pendulum up as still as you possibly can, I can project to you, and I can make that pendulum do anything I want it to through my thoughts to you. It's like a tapping into an electrical current, and you can keep it as still as you want. You can try to interfere, and, you know, it'd be interesting. But
we'll have to test that sometime. I wonder if it'll work via Skype. Oh, yeah, everything works Skype.
Hey, Skype is powerful.
That'd be an interesting experiment.
But so you can do this with your friend, you know, anyone, if you sit at a table and just try to keep your elbow off, or you could try it both, on or off the table, but keeping it still and project these energies back and forth. Now, if you then hang that pendulum on a stationary object, let's say you have it on Oh, geez, like a hook over a door. Sorry?
Yeah just that. Any kind of a hanger, yeah.
Anything that does not have human contact. And then try to move it. And it's a very different story.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you're going to an inanimate object rather than the electrical current of the mind to the body and a current between two people. But it can be done. It can be done.
And if it does move, then let me just interject real quick. If it does move, now you're using psychokinesis, PK, which we're going to talk about in a minute.
We're going to talk about that in a minute because it's a very fascinating study. So things that you can do even on your own, let's say you think of a friend and you say, is Betty Smith going to call me this week? And ask your pendulum, yes or no, and then wait out the week to see what happens. It's very interesting, or even in a day. And watch what kinds of responses. I mean, hey, I have done this over lotto numbers.
you never know.
And to me, that pendulum was as clear as anything. Clear, clear, clear answers. And I go over it and over it again. I need exactly these many numbers. Oh, wow, I've got the winning lotto numbers. And it doesn't happen. So, you know, what is that? Maybe I'm tapping into the lotto numbers over in China. I have no idea. But it just doesn't work. So it's our wish center will interfere. Emotions will interfere with the accuracy of a pendulum. So, which is not like other kinds of divination, I might add, like cards or, there's just so many, you know, if you read teacups. But this is about the current to moving objects, the power of a thought. Thoughts have an electrical current. It's really important to understand that. We are all basically electricity. So, and that leads us, of course, into, you know, you're going to talk about telekinesis, Doug, so...
Yeah, you know, and what you mentioned, we have this electromagnetic field around us. I mean, that's not conjecture; that's objective science. You know, you can pick up on that field if you have a DC EMF meter, electromagnetic field meter, which I do. One of them is the Tri-Field Natural meter, and it will detect your energy. I mean, you can actually use the thing as a motion detector because when you get close to it, it picks up on that DC electromagnetic field, which is a natural field. Natural fields are DC, man-made fields are AC. And so we do have this energy. A lot of people can see it with auras and so forth. And
that's
it's
like
there.
Carillion photography machines do the same thing, don't they?
And so, you know, that kind of leads us into another part of, or another type of thought power is psychokinesis, or PK. We sometimes call it RSPK for recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis. And that's what is often also described as poltergeist activity. You know, a lot of folks think poltergeists are a type of ghost. Well, all the evidence really shows us that poltergeists are not entities at all. They, you know, you need a human agent, somebody whose energy or thoughts are manifesting in PK or psychokinesis, same thing as telekinesis. They're both the same thing, different words. And a lot of people can do this.
For a minute.
I'm sorry?
We lost about 10 seconds of the sound there, Doug. Can you repeat that last line?
Sure. Whatever that was. yeah, let me take another one of my memory pills here. PK is the same thing as telekinesis, and we call it PK for short, psychokinesis, telekinesis, same thing. We also sometimes use the term RSPK for recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis. And as I was saying, that a lot of folks mistake that for poltergeist activity. Poltergeists are not entities. All the evidence suggests that it is simply psychokinesis or PK spontaneously generated on the part of a human agent. It can be anybody. Often it's an adolescent girl or, you know, a young woman just before, during, or just after puberty. But it can be anybody. It's not limited to those, although there seems to be a lot of that that happens. So people can have this. They aren't even aware of it. And it's usually people who are somewhat psychically sensitive. And it can be confused or mistaken for haunting activity when it's really not. And so, you know, things can happen. You know, lights can go on and off. Things can move. Knocks, raps, footsteps, whatever. You know, touches. It can be any of those different things. And that's really the power of the mind, you know, power of thought. It's manifesting.
Would it be safe to say then it's a fear-generated emotion that projects this kind of energy?
Well, it could be. Yeah, it could be because, I mean, if you think about it, there's a lot of more cases with, you know, young women in their mid-teens, you know, and that's a very emotional time of life. Well, that is for any kid, but especially for girls, they can, you know, they can, the emotions can run high. And so when there's stress, you know, you don't know what to do, tough times, we all can manifest different things in different ways. Some of us get headaches. Some of us get a neck ache. Some of us get a, you know, sore shoulders. That stress can manifest in various ways. Some people get asthma. Some people get psoriasis. You know, it just, it can manifest. Well, some people, that stress can manifest as PK. It just depends. And it's, again, usually because they are psychically sensitive to some point, to some degree. And it can be confused as haunting activity when it's not. So if you have those types of things happen, look at the life. You know, is there stress? Who's there when it happens? I mean, there's been some very rare reports of RSPK or poltergeist type activity occurring even when the agent is not there, but that's pretty rare. It's usually when they're there. Who, you know, if things are happening, you can be responsible for about anything. You know, the interesting thing about it is it won't hurt you. And secondly, it usually will go away after a period of a few months or once the stress is relieved. It usually dissipates. So, you know, that's an interesting thing. You know, our minds, our consciousness is very powerful. And it can
manage. So just imagine harnessing that energy.
Like, well, a lot of people harness it. Yeah. I mean, it's like the men who stare at goats, right? That movie. I don't know if you've seen that one. But, you know, they stare and, you know, they try to make things move with their mind. A lot of people have done that or tried anyway. Not so common. You know, and it's linked to creating our reality too. I mean, it's all in there. It's with, you know, our thoughts are powerful. They literally create our reality. And we'll talk about that too in a moment. I'll give you, Vicki, a chance to interject or anything before we switched gears.
No, it's just being able to harness energy, but we have to study it first because you have to understand the workings of one's own mind. You know, and this is where that know thyself is so critical. Because are you operating from that emotional place, or do you have fears, or to study as objectively as your subjectivity will allow you about how you are generating certain kinds of activities in your life, you know, what you're attracting to yourself is because it's what you put out. You know, it's that power of thought. But I think it's not just the thought, it's the energy and that electrical impulse that puts the thought out there.
Well, thoughts are energy. The thoughts are things. You know, everything around us is the result of a thought, an original thought in somebody's mind at some point in time. Everything.
So it's about studying ourselves. It really is about what gave me that thought. You know, and here's another thing about when we think we're going to project, you know, it's all that, you know, that universal power stuff. I like to look more at things in everyday life. If I have a thought, for instance, hey, here's a good example, Doug. If I send a telepathic message to my horses that I'm going to come out and clean your feet, I don't have a problem with them. But if I just go out there and I say, oh, I think I'm going to do this right now, without having the forethought, I will always have a problem. I have worked with people who train animals, and you know, especially they say, oh, the horse is really good for an hour, and then it just goes nuts. I said, well, did you project what you wanted? Yes. Everything went fine. You finished what you wanted? Yes. Everything was good? Yes. And then you decided it was so good, you added in a bunch of stuff, mm-hmm. right? Well, yeah. I said, but you didn't tell the horse.
Welcome to the horse whisperer, huh?
But it's even with people, it's about projecting those thoughts and knowing that there is a tremendous sensitivity that we have in a shared energy space with thought. And these are the experiments that we can do. There are so many ways to experiment with how to better understand one's own projection of thought. That it's just endless, the numbers of things we can do. So, but we have to study it.
And we can study it by in a variety of ways. Obviously, studying metaphysics, the science of consciousness and existence, is one way. And I'll put a plug in for the school. If you're not a student, we'd love to have you visit metaphysicsinstitute.org, where you can get your degree in a variety of specializations, but all in metaphysical humanistic science. And so you can study it in that manner. But you had also, at the very outset of the program, you talked about reviewing the year. Where were we a year ago? What have we done this year? How are we different? How are we better? What can we work on next year? Those are all thoughts, and those all participate and directly in creating our reality. We've all heard it. You know, your perceptions are your reality. Your thoughts are your reality. Your belief is your reality. We are where we are because of our thoughts and our beliefs, resulting in action. So we create a reality. Now, this is not just foo-foo stuff. This is not fringe stuff. This is really the way it is. Wherever you are right here and right now is the result of your decisions, your choices. You know, no judgment here. It's just that we're all that way. I am exactly where I am because of decisions and choices I've made. And a lot of people don't want to make choices. Well, you know, if you don't want to make choices, they'll be made for you by default by others. And so we have to be deliberate in making our choices and deliberate in our thoughts. The way that it all works is this way. We have an observation that leads to a thought that is then filtered through our previous beliefs. We call it bias. That leads to a new belief, then resulting in an action. And so if you think about where you're at, think about this. The car that you drive, why do you drive that car? Well, because you made a decision to drive that car, whether you purchased it, whether you received it as a gift, whether you found it on the side of the road. Okay, that's probably not true, but you get the idea. Think about the house you live in. Think about the toothbrush you use. Think about the food you like. Everything in your life, the clothes you wear, the shoes you wear, everything in your life is a result of your thoughts. In essence, you have created that reality based on those thoughts and those decisions. This is also part of quantum physics, quantum mechanics. And it's known as superposition. Don't know if you're familiar with that, anyone, but I'll explain it. It's really not that complicated. In quantum mechanics, quantum physics, same thing, only different. It's part of the Heisenberg uncertainty principle and entanglement. And pardon?
Just that last 10 seconds again there, Doug.
Okay.
Can you?
I'll repeat what I just said. And before I do, were you saying anything when I blocked out? Because I didn't hear you. Okay, fair enough. What I want to talk about is superposition. It's quantum mechanics, quantum physics is the same thing, only different. And it's really something that involves the Heisenberg uncertainty principle as well as quantum entanglement. Now, the Heisenberg uncertainty principle basically asserts or alludes, implies that things are not the way they are until they're observed. You can't directly measure something and observe it at the same time. It changes. And so some folks have speculated that reality is not even real until we actually observe it. One doctor that I know was posing the question, like I'm driving down in downtown, maybe in some town, big or small, doesn't matter. Do the buildings on the next block exist until I get there? You know, that kind of a thing. It's almost, you know, does a tree make a sound? If it falls in the forest, nobody's there to hear it. Superposition simply means that you have a number of possibilities in front of you. So let's use an example. Let's suppose you need to buy a new car, or get a new car. All right, and let's say you've been considering a sports car, a family car, or a pickup truck, just three different types of cars. Well, you are in a superposition point of view, almost, so to speak. In other words, there's three possibilities here that you've been thinking about. You think, oh, I'd really like the sports car, you know, cool Corvette, canary yellow, that'd be awesome, you know. Or, I have a family, I really should have a family car, maybe a minivan or something like that. But on the other hand, I could sure use a pickup truck for hauling things down then. And so you're weighing the decision, right? There's three possibilities here, three realities. If you bought the sports car, that would be your reality based on your decision and your thoughts. If you bought the family car, again, that would be your reality, and the same thing with the truck. Well, maybe you come up with a fourth reality, a fourth possibility. Maybe you decide to get an SUV and combine the family car and the truck together so you'd have a fourth choice. Whatever one of those you choose is your reality. Now, quantum physics also alludes, and some scientists even believe, that all of those realities come into play. They actually happen, and they happen in parallel universes. I'm not going to go into that, but that's what they say. If you're going down the road and you come to a fork in the road, you can go right or you can go left. You choose to go right. That is your reality based on your decision. So, you know, the choices we make are in line with our beliefs as well. Our thoughts are filtered through our biases, through our beliefs. Your mentality shapes your reality, as it's been said. So this is the superposition type of thing. There's possibilities in front of us. We make a choice based on thoughts. We can then therefore say that you have created your reality based on your thoughts and your choices.
And for a moment, I owned a canary red, canary yellow sports car.
Really?
For a second, because I had the thought.
Yeah, there you go.
For a second.
and that's the cool thing, because you can visualize each one of these outcomes. If you have, you got a problem, you need to solve it. Well, what you're looking at is possibilities. What are the possible solutions that I have here? And you follow those through. You could do it with anything, just like you say, visualize it, live in that moment. What's it feel like? What is it like? What's my life like? How has it changed? And try out those different possibilities.
Which is why it's so important for us to keep ourselves grounded. If you want to manifest into this reality, we do have to be able to harness our thought energies to be able to project and actually let our bodies follow through to act it out. So if you do decide, here's the truck, then be in the truck and not keep thinking about your yellow sports car.
Right. Yeah. But so many people do. Dang, I wish I'd bought that sports car. And, you know, when it comes to choices, Sean in the chat room made a good, an excellent point. You know, not making a choice is also making a choice. And that also applies to action. We can take action by not doing anything at all. So we have to keep those in mind. John has
If I can just interject, that is a big one. To me, not making a choice is a choice, because, you know, a lot of people get into that complacency and the guilt, and they don't take responsibility for saying, I decided not to do anything. That is as much of a responsible action and response mechanism as, oh, okay, well, I bought the truck, but I really should have got the family car. You know, it's if you decide to do nothing, nothing is an action that we are equally responsible for as in making any other acted out or manifested kind of reality. So, because this is something I deal with a lot with people, is the guilt they feel for not doing anything. But it is a choice.
It is. People don't want to take responsibility, and so therefore they don't act. What they're doing, you can look at it from the other side, is that they are essentially assuming responsibility for not acting. They're assuming responsibility for something. John asked a question, can our thoughts also project images of certain religious constructs, such as inhuman spirits or malevolent inhuman spirits, if they exist, due to the heightened fear of them? And the answer is absolutely. We can hallucinate based on fear if those fears are emotional enough and deep enough. This happens. This can happen in the dream state. It can happen with sleep paralysis, you know, that halfway point between sleep and awake. A lot of people experience that. Quite a lot of people experience sleep paralysis where they wake up, but their body is paralyzed because, you know, the mind turns the body off, so to speak, paralyzes so you don't act out your dreams. And so we can wake up, we can't move, and we're in that hypnagogic state, lucid dreaming, and we can see things. And it can be anything from aliens trying to abduct us to the old hag, which is why it's called the old hag syndrome. There's a lot of things that can happen. People can, they create the reality. If they're fervent, devout, fundamentalist Christians, for example, and they're deathly afraid of demons, guess what they're going to get? Demons. Because, and that's another thing that I'm going to talk about in a few more minutes when on the random number generators, is that it's important to focus on what you want, not on what you don't want. So when people are afraid of something happening, guess what comes up? The thing they're afraid of, because that's what they're focused on. That's just the way the mind works. You get what you focus on. As the saying goes, where attention goes, energy flows. So we get that which we focus on.
You know, I'd like to just share a little experience somewhat on this line. For many, many years, on my birthday, I project what I want for the following year. See, that's I do a meditation and project. And for a lot of years, I would say, okay, I have this fear. This year, I want to overcome this fear. Life kind of unfolds to have me challenge that. Well, then I started, you know, okay, how do we manifest certain things? So I picked this random number out of my head and said, I want $7,500 in my bank account this year. And I don't know why it was $7,500. Maybe it was an intuition. Who knows? But I wanted $7,500 in my bank account. Well, my uncle had just finished my father's estate. Lo and behold, some months later, I get a check for $7,500. I put it in my bank account and I write the rest to the siblings' checks. So, you know, I
next time put a zero on the end, okay?
I know. So I had $7,500 in my bank account that was there for like 24 hours. But I said, oh, is that how it works? We have to be very specific, mm-hmm. very, very specific, and hopefully not be, you know, biased by our conditioning. That's a big one, because you use the word bias, you know, frequently too, and it's true, we are all biased, but also not by other random things that, you know, obviously we can't control everything, but there's always these other random things going on. So the more powerful the thought to project, of course, the greater the chance of outcome that you want. Mm-hmm. So it's fascinating.
And so to just sum up the answer to John's question, yeah, our mind can play tricks on us too if the emotion, the fear is there. That's certainly a fact. You know, another aspect of the power of thought, and this involves consciousness, quantum entanglement, is what's something called primary perception. Primary perception, let me explain what it is. It goes back to the 60s with Cleve Baxter. He was a polygraph, he did polygraph tests, and he was kind of researching that, and he decided one night to hook up the leads to a plant, and he got a little bit of a reading, I think he did anyway, not much, and he thought, you know, I wonder if I go get my matches and burn a leaf if it'll react, and instantly, as soon as he thought that, his polygraph machine came to life. The plant reacted to his thought. I know it sounds fantastic. You can find out information on this videos if you go to YouTube and just do a search for Cleve Baxter. His last name is spelled B-A-C-K-S-T-E-R. Cleve, C-L-E-V-E, Cleve Baxter, primary perception. It's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. And he did some further experiments and same thing happened with different things. And so we not only see the entanglement that we all have, the connectedness that we all have, but we see the power of thought, and even more profoundly strong is the power of intent. So think about that. Where's your intent? Because, you know, it's like intent is thoughts on steroids, right? What is your intent? And if you have a deliberate,
pure heart,
right? Because those that intent's going to make a difference. And if you use something that I call deliberate intent, don't just let it be passive. Make sure that whatever you intend is deliberate. That also comes into play with like attracts like, which we also know as the law of attraction. So you have to have deliberate intent. If you want something positive to happen in your life, where's the deliberate intent? You focus on that.
So basically, if you want to send somebody white, loving lights, you can't harbor being really mad at them.
Right.
Because that's only half a light, maybe.
Yeah, that'd be cognitive dissonance.
There you go.
And that's why we often, and in fact we try to do it every show, is to take a moment and just send positive light, positive energy to those in need. Send it around the planet. Because, you know, it helps. It helps somewhat. It can't hurt for one thing, and it certainly helps. And let's talk about that. And that is in the way of random number generators. If you haven't heard of this, there is the what is it called? Project Consciousness. It's escaping me at the moment. But they are running these random number generators all over the world in different locations. What these random number generators do is they generate random numbers. Sounds pretty straightforward, and it is. They're random numbers, and it generates them, and they record them. Well, what they're finding is that when there are global issues, these random number generators become less random. For example, back an hour, back on 9/11, an hour before the first plane hit the Twin Towers, the number generators began to be less random. And they've graphed this out. You can look online and you can find information on it. Look for random number generators.
Are these computer programs?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they chart them all. And so they can tell when they're less random. So what's going on is a collective consciousness here. And of course, if you trace that back, it goes back to thought. You know, our consciousness is made up of our thoughts. Thoughts are things. Thoughts are energy. They can affect everything. And so that's fascinating to me, because it was an hour before the plane hit that these random number generators became less random. What does that mean? You know, there's a lot more going on here than we are aware of, because it happened an hour prior. And then it just went up. And there's other instances, other times, other disasters, so forth, that when these generators were less random. So there's got to be something to this, right? There's our evidence. There's our compelling evidence to suggest that consciousness is far more than we give it credit for. And it comes back to our thoughts, to our deliberate intent, to our fears, to our emotions, to our thoughts, because everything's made up of thoughts.
Which lends to what we would like to have for ourselves in our lives, what we want to manifest. And we can project these thoughts not only into our individual pathways, but for the planet as well. I mean, for just the whole consciousness generally, you know, it's just pray for everybody to wake up, you know. But it's just to pray for that goodness and kindness. You can't necessarily, I mean, we all would like to think we have some answers. You know, geez, if people just did this, you can't project for those things, because those are the laws of interference, really. But if we project for that white light, for that purity of energy, then it's a contaminant. Other people pick up on that. Kind of like a smile at the store. It's contagious. the same thing. Even though that's a visual, it still has an energy.
Oh, it does.
I mean, you know, if you're really angry and you smile at somebody, they know you're angry. Even though your smile may look like you're smiling, you're not.
Yeah, right. And so you can pick up on intent. We can all pick up on intent, especially when it's visible through body language.
I think that's why we're all confused too, though, Doug. Don't you?
Are you confused?
Most of the time, I'm confused.
I'm confused by why I live on a planet where everything eats everything else. Now I'm even more confused since you suggested maybe we live in a universe where everything eats everything else. And that completely destroyed all my hope. Thanks a lot.
Transformation. Everything's transforming. I know. This is what I think, though. We're confused, generally speaking, when we interact with people. We pick up on their energies, but we have to understand that we're equally responsible for what we give off. You know, that we give off to people that as clear as our intent can be in the moment. That's why living in the moment is so critical. Because whatever is going on in your life, it has nothing to do with, the bank teller when you're there at the bank, or how you're there to pay for your groceries. It has nothing to do with them. So it's being that moment of where you are in the place of joy, hopefully as I'm here in this moment. You know, it's like, how can I be all frustrated and feeling, let's say, depressed or sad or anything, but I walk into a room and I'm smiling and I say hello and I'm feeling good because I'm in a new spot. And actually, people have pointed that out to me. How do you do that? It's because wherever I just was has nothing to do with this moment. I'm with new people. I'm in a new situation. I'll get back to my other emotions later when it's appropriate, if that makes sense. You know, it's like, and I think this is where if we can all become better emotional managers of ourselves. And that's critical to understanding how to project thought and learning about the power of thought to be emotional managers, and not let emotions control us.
And another way to put that is to control your thoughts. If you control your thoughts, you control your emotions, you control everything.
Yes.
We have to control our thoughts. We have to manage our thoughts. And that takes some strength. It takes some maturity. It takes some experience.
Discipline.
Yeah, that too. Absolutely. And so we have to control those thoughts. We have to choose what we think about. You know, we choose our thoughts because your thoughts are your reality. Your outer world is simply a reflection of your inner world. If you want your outside world to change, you've got to change your inside world first. That means managing your thoughts because they are powerful. They will manifest in your life. And so if you're in a situation or a circumstance that you don't like, that's not good, that's not what you want, as James Allen wrote in As a Man Thinketh all those years ago, he said, when you learn the spiritual lesson contained in any circumstance, it will pass. Now, when we learn a lesson, something is involved in that. It involves change. We can know a lesson, but have not learned it. And until we learn it, we don't change. Once we change, what does that mean? It means we change our thinking. If we change our thinking, we change our beliefs. If we change our beliefs, we change our actions. Therefore, the circumstance will pass in due time. And so it's important to choose what we want, to focus on what we want, not on what we don't have. That's been written about all over the net. Interestingly, before I ever discovered that, it hit me about 10 years ago that I was focusing on what I didn't have, not what I wanted. And there was where my energy was going. You know, your unconscious mind says, oh, okay, that's what you're focusing on, so that must be what you want. So it was leaving things the way they were. And when I focused on what I wanted, then things began to change in time.
And we all have those reminders. We all have those moments. That's being human. But we get better at it as we go. And that's the key, is we all find ourselves being in, you know, what could be a negative because we're lacking something. It's So we want to think about that for a moment. But I have this rule, 10 minutes.
Right.
You know? And that's part of that discipline to say, okay, but now what do I want? Because there's a whole lot more minutes in a day that can be utilized much better. But, you know, this is where it's really important about to be aware of contamination. And, you know, this is another thing that I ponder and I observe and, you know, I talk to people about, is not to be contaminated by other people's energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy. It's not easy at all. It brings to mind a story, if just indulge me for a moment, Doug, because it was really profound then, and every time I think about it, it's profound. A psychologist I had done some work with many years ago had called me saying that he was in a dilemma, and it was kind of he didn't want to infringe on culture because he was dealing with an American Indian man who had, this guy had been doing elder work, he was spiritually active, and he's suddenly seeking psychological help because all of his childhood issues were coming up, you know, of abuse and residential. And he was just
he
what
in
happened.
His mid-30s?
No, a little older, actually. Mm. But he was, you know, the psychologist was very perplexed, and he said, it's a cultural thing. How can I best help him? What can I do? Question on the reserve.
Hey, Vicki, you're breaking up now. Could you?
Am I? Okay.
So you, go ahead. You did what?
So I had a question for him. I said, this is how I want to handle this first. My question is, are they implementing new programs on the reserve from social services? He said, well, yeah, in fact, he's heading them up. And I said, so now they're implementing these psychological, you know, programs that he's been functioning really well. He's been doing great, but this is triggering things for him, and it's making him think that he hasn't done his work, so he's reliving it, and really, just leave him alone. Tell him to never mind about those programs and just go back to living his life, because he was being contaminated. You know, again, he had been living a peaceful, productive, wonderful, and very important role in his community for over 20 years and suddenly having a breakdown because these other specialists were telling him he still had issues.
Mm.
So this is what I mean by contamination. We have to be very careful not to take on things that have no place in our lives. So we have to ask ourselves, well, this is interesting, but does it have a place for me? You know, how do I want to participate in these things? Maybe I don't want to at all. Or maybe I just have a role, but again, I have a difference of opinion. And stick to that certainty that we have, you know, for ourselves, because it works for us. If you're liking your life, you like yourself, you like where it's going, you're taking steps, don't let other people have those kinds of influences. It's right. A big one. I see it a lot.
Well, make up your own mind, you know. And that's where self-completeness comes into play here, you know.
Absolutely.
Self-completeness, self-confidence, knowing who you are and why you are who you are. So often people get derailed by them esteem, where they're only doing things for the validation they get externally from others rather than internal validation, which is self-esteem. So you have to know who you are and why you are who you are. You have to be focused. If it's something important, you have to be single-minded about it. And that means protecting yourself from negative thinkers, from those energy vampires who suck the life right out of you. Negativity will do that. There are plenty of people around who will poo-poo things and play the naysayer game. You know, I don't even want to be around those people. Look, if what I'm doing is going to be a mistake, then I'll learn from it. And that's part of the human experience. I accept that. I'm not going to think poorly of myself because I make a mistake. I'm going to be thankful for the bonus of experience that I've received. So you have to focus on it. You know, put your ducks in a row. Give it some thought. If that's what you want to do and if that's what you've determined to do, then do it. And don't let people dissuade you. Don't let them suck your energy out. That's not good. That comes back to thought. That's all that negative thinking is negative thoughts. Nothing will ever work.
Yeah, you just, so you're breaking up a little too. I think we had a little occasional fragment here in the cosmos, but you just said something too, Doug, about being grateful and that gratitude. Mm-hmm. Gratitude helps to measure your intent, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gratitude.
Say it again.
Gratitude is very empowering.
Mm-hmm.
To intent.
Yeah, you're cutting out too. We'll give it just a second here, and just,
oh,
you know,
you're good now.
I am thankful to the Skype gods that most of the show is good.
Most of it.
Most of it's coming
really
through.
Good. I'd say 95%. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Gratitude helps to fulfill intent. Gratitude supports intent. Gratitude, it makes it more whole. So if there is gratitude with intent for what you want to project and where you want to go, it makes it huge. The power of a thought with gratitude is huge. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Lights up a room.
So we've talked about a number of aspects of the power of thought. We talked about, you know, checking your thoughts with a pendulum, cool thing to do. A self-analysis, it's great for self-analysis too. We've talked about psychokinesis, RSPK, you know, we've talked about creating your own reality, superposition, that is the possibilities that lie before you, whichever one you choose becomes your reality. We've talked about a lot of stuff. So the question is, what are we going to do with it now? How are we going to apply it over the coming year?
The ultimate question, what do you do with knowledge? What do you do with information? Hopefully we assimilate it into a better knowing of ourselves and say, this is the reality I want to create. You have a picture for yourself, and you get thoughts that support your picture, thoughts that support your desire for where you want to be. In 2012, 2012 is huge, and in our first show next week of 2012, we're going to talk about all the chatter about 2012. We have our own opinions of this stuff, Doug, so I'm, mm-hmm. you know, we're all in line with this, and it's going to be a really exciting show. We're going to bring up lots of stuff. But optimism, boy, that it's like be optimistic, and that helps to change the vibration of the planet. That helps to change the vibration of your life. Live in fear and the
that changes the vibration too.
And it affects thoughts, and that's a contaminant to other people's thoughts. I prefer, when I hear these things, I just go still, and I collect myself. And I go back into my own optimism. If there were the end of the world, I wouldn't be doing these readings that predict futures for people. You know, because I see a future. I do. I mean, I see it. So I just check in with myself and say, okay, that's their thoughts. That's what people believe. People are worried. But we really do have to, and I mean this, I'm not telling people what to do, but I'm just saying the key is to feel positive. The key is to know that anything is possible in life. The power of a thought can manifest an extraordinary pathway for anyone who wants it. And I mean anyone. And all you have to do then is know where you want to go, know what you want to do, and look for the positive supports to your pathway. Because we're not in this by ourselves. None of us is in this alone. You know, we're not autonomous singular beings. We're a collection of beings. We are a collective that's called a humanity. You know, we bump into people all the time in the course of a day, but be selective about positive energy.
Right. I think you cut out.
Impact others, but who are you going to lie? It's hopefully.
Be positive about those who you lead.
But it
energy.
Doesn't. It's. That you're gonna.
You're cutting out for just. You're cutting out. Let me. I'm gonna come right back to you. Let's just give it
go
a second because it usually. It
correct.
Usually corrects itself. Yeah. So I lost you at. You know, you knock around with people through the day. You come into contact. Be you know, be careful about the negatives, focus on the positives, that sort of thing.
Sure, and be selective about who you want to join energies with. It's being selective. Use that insight, and really, if you have to touch base with yourself, say, does this energy support my mandate? Does this energy that I have around me, what am I going to select? Which people, what kinds of electricity, if you will, are you going to use to empower the path that you want to build your life on? And, you know, that's the most critical thing, I think, about, you know, sending out good energy. It can't be sending out good energy based on a fear and you got all these other negative energies in your life, you're just hoping for something. It really has to be this deep conviction within yourself to say, I am creating my reality. I'm a part of that creation of this reality. My thoughts create this reality. And you're going to see what you want to see and build your life accordingly. Now, understand that it's not always going to be about winning the lottery, although I wish it was. But it is still about being provided for and trusting that we are provided for. It just sometimes we have to be resourceful, and that's all part of the learning and sharing. So if it is that, you know, we're talking about tough economic times, for instance, maybe it's because we all need to learn how to better work together. And there's nothing wrong with that, but if we're seeing, you know, our pride, we're feeling, you know, embarrassed, we're feeling all these other things, shameful that we can't do it on our own. Well, these are things that we have to suck up, and we have to say, this is how I'm learning. This is what I am gaining in myself to be in a cooperative, in a collective. But I got a path, you know, and I'm going for it.
So 2012 can be the most fabulous year ever. We have to remain optimistic, choose our thoughts wisely because they become our reality. And speaking of the whole collective consciousness and all that, let's take a moment to send out some positive energy to the planet, to people in need, to yourself. Just surround yourself with that positive energy. Take a moment to do that, if you would. You know, you can almost blast it out to the entire planet, and every little bit helps. So,
it's awesome. You know, it's another great discussion, Doug. Thank you to everyone for joining us in this past hour. Of course, it's always nice to see new guests and new people. And, of course, Shauna, it's great to see you back in the chat again. And thanks to John Hightower, who's, you know, our loyal colleague here. We look forward to this year. We're looking forward to a brand new show next week and off to a great start. So I'm grateful.
Yeah, and the week after we're going to talk about channeling and possessions, which ought to be an interesting show as well. So tell people about this program. We're trying to build some listenership and let people know about it. You know, so tell those who you think might be interested in it. We always try to entertain life skill topics and metaphysical topics and just different things. So again, thanks to everybody. Hope you have a great week. Hope
thanks,
you have a great
everybody.
Solstice season, holiday season. And we look forward to seeing you in the chat next week. Take care.
Good night.